If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Everybody's got a guy.
Well, I know a guy too.
Actually, two guys. I got Sal and his brother Ben. And I drive 2 hours from Northwest Indiana all the way to Nordica and Addison on the northwest side of the city, passing all the other butcher shops to get to Joseph's Finest Meats. Why? Because I grew up in a butcher shop. I know what quality is. I know what attention to detail is. That's Joseph's Finest Meats, 7101 West Addison Street in Chicago. Homemade sausages. Oh, yeah. USDA prime-aged beef and butchers who know what they're doing. Do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Go to Joseph's Finest Meats, get some Italian sausage, and you'll never want to go anywhere else. And it's the only thing that Betty will make when she's making peppers and sausage. She wants Joseph's. And that's an endorsement based not on anything other than the quality of their work. Because my name means something to me, and their name means something to them. Joseph's Finest Meats, 7101 West Addison Street in Chicago. A family tradition since 1977. A proud sponsor of John Cass News and the Chicago A Podcast. Chicago Democrats have controlled Illinois politics and the State House in Springfield for decade upon decade upon decade. And now what do we have? The school children can't read or write at grade level. They can't add or subtract at grade level. They can't do arithmetic like they're supposed to. What are the Illinois kids prepared to do other than go to prison or go stay on welfare? But is that going to help the rest of you? So I'm asking all of you to take this podcast and share it, because what's happening here is there has to be a revolution from the status quo of the Democrat Party running things. The last time there was a mini revolution, it was betrayed. But now we have another chance, the last chance, I believe. What Illinois needs is just enough of you parents, taxpayers, who want things to be working out better. Pritzker, Governor Pritzker and his billions have spent hundreds of millions of dollars of his own cash to win the governor's job twice. It has to change. And it's going to change because he's running for president now. He doesn't want to be governor anymore. He knows what he's done. He knows what he's done to the state. It's a black hole, and he wants to get out. Ted Dabrowski of wirepoints.org is running for governor too. Republican, fiscally conservative, Polish patriot, fact-based, reason-based. Everything with Ted is all about policy and reason. And he's our guest on this edition of the Chicago Way podcast. Jeff Carlin is here, as always, executive producer, WGN Radio, future physics teacher of Illinois, my friend, baker of pies. And me, I'm John Cass, editor-in-chief and publisher of johncassnews.com, where you always get a good cup of common sense. And where are you as Illinois is at the crossroads between complete and abject failure, or trying to dig out of what Pritzker and the rest of the Democrats have done to it? You're on the Chicago A podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago way.
The Chicago way, that's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
As promised, there is a candidate running for governor. And I like him and know him. He's a conservative, and I've asked the question on Twitter just the other day. Why not consider a Polish candidate for governor who's fiscally conservative and who speaks Spanish? None other than Ted Dabrowski, candidate, Republican candidate for governor of Illinois. Ted, welcome to the Chicago Way.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, Ted. What's the instant reaction, you know, instant polling? What do you feel? Do you feel different?
Well, I feel different because it's a big step. You know, so many people in Illinois, and we've talked about this, you know, together here and amongst other groups, so many people have shrugged their shoulders for so long and just say, hey, what can we do? This is, you know, Cook County. This is Illinois. You know, another big group leaves the state. And, you know, I've been arguing, you know, and this is part of kind of my American dream story of my own. Is, you know, this state is an amazing state, and it should be a top five state for economic growth, for prosperity, for wage growth, for education. You know, this state has so many assets that most other states would dream of having, right? With the lake and the farmland and the universities and just the Chicago economic engine. You know, you can't make that stuff up. It's great, but our politicians over the last few decades have destroyed it, and we're watching a great state shrink in population. Shrink in representation in Congress. You know, its economy isn't growing. Our kids aren't reading anymore. And, you know, there's a huge dissatisfaction. And I think we've finally maybe reached a point where we might be able to tip this thing back into common sense because of all the stuff that's going on that's so negative in this state. I think we have a real chance to find disenfranchised Blacks, Latinos, parents whose rights have been stripped and taken away. And unite for the first time in a long time.
Well, how are you going to do that? Because I think most people who stayed in Illinois, and I'm speaking to all my friends who have stayed, I've left. I couldn't take it anymore and keep my sanity. But those people who stayed seem to be comfortable with a governor. You can't go to church, but I'm going to shut down the schools. With a governor who talks about not having law enforcement on the street to protect the most vulnerable people. They're comfortable with all this and the litany of the pathology of dysfunctionality is so immense. How do you deal with that?
Well, John, you know, it's not as bad as it seems. You know, for as much as people like to say this is a blue state. First of all, we know that it's very red outside, right? There's, you know, you look at the county maps, very red. Now, of course, that's not where the population is. But consider this, all right? We're talking about 3 years ago. Governor Pritzker spends about $150 million on his own money to run his campaign, right? And he spends tons of money to do everything else. He's gerrymandered the whole state. He's done all that, but the most he got, you know, the votes he got was 54.9%. It's not 60%. It's not 65%. It's not, you know, it's not hugely blue. 54.9. Now, since then, we've had the Trump phenomena, right? We saw him get 44% without spending a penny here, picking up, Hispanic votes, Black votes. Since then, we've had the immigrant crisis where Pritzker has spent, you know, just on healthcare alone, close to $2 billion on illegal immigrants, spending money, you know, prioritizing illegal immigrants over his own residents, which, of course, the Blacks have been super unhappy about, and right. As have many Latinos. Since then, we've had this crime thing going on. We've had the gerrymandering case. You know, he's now being exposed, not by us like we've been doing, but by the national media. Trump is exposing him. You know, he's having to defend himself on crime. So we have to understand this. We're not trying to persuade the people who are extreme, you know, on the far left. We're trying to get to 50% plus one. And so that means I can bet that enthusiasm for a third term for Governor Pritzker, who's not even running for governor, right? He's really running for president. Enthusiasm for him will be down. And can we go and attract? And this is the big challenge, the big goal. Can we attract those disenfranchised blacks who want something different? They finally are starting to figure it out. Can we get the Latinos who are out there voting? Can we get those moms who've seen their parental rights just destroyed? Can we get enough, cobble enough to get to the 50% plus one? And I think we can. It's going to be hard work. But you know, Governor Pritzker's helping us by the mess he continues to make.
The money thing is a big deal, right? Because he buried his Bailey last time around. I mean, there was, and we had kind of a cannibalization of different Republican candidates last time around between the mayor of Aurora and Bailey himself. And I mean, it's there's a lot of, and he helped that, right? He was putting money in both coffers at different times and running ads on both sides. I mean, it sounds like it's just Dan Prof would say, we know this, that Illinois isn't broken, it's fixed. And how do you come up against that juggernaut? And just, I mean, just focusing on the money alone versus initially, yeah. Where do you go?
Yeah, you can't ignore the money, right? Because money does play a role. Yeah, I think I want to say that his money will have a less impact, right? I mean, that's why I go back to, you know, he spent over $400 million plus on campaigns over his, you know, 7 years, and he still only got 54.9%. So it's, to me, it's desperate. And the more he spends, the more desperate he might look, you know. So that's one. Number two, yeah, on our side, we have to figure out how to raise money. I think, you know, there's still a lot of money out there, but you know, people, you know, we know it. People have been skeptical. We've lost a lot of our donor base to Florida. You know, Ken Griffin being the biggest one, right? You know, he funded, you know, $50 million of a campaign last time around, but he's gone. So, and, you know, there's going to be a lot of money spent in other states. But I tell you this, is what's interesting here is that, you know, this is going to be a rare opportunity for national donors to say, hey, wait a minute. We can do something that wasn't possible before. We can actually flip Illinois red at the governor level and take out Governor Pritzker from a presidential campaign at the same time, a 2-for-1. So hopefully we can attract national money for that alone.
With over 3 decades of serving up streetwise insight and local perspective on Page Two, the voice of John Cass has a home at johncassnews.com, a place where common sense is still served daily.
Listen up. You like being treated as a chump alone, as a fool, sitting on a stool, smiling wanly at the sky?
Don't be a chump alone and subscribe at johncassnews.com.
I'm John Cass, 40 years old. A newspaper man in Chicago. I won't name the place. It's just the paper now.
That's the Chicago way.
But I'm asking you to join me so you can get a decent cup of common sense, at least. You're not going to get it from the media. It's time that you join the frontier of independent journalism at johncassnews.com.
Don't get caught in the parade of chumalones.
Traditional media, mainstream media like the paper, they're all in on it. They think you're stupid. You know what they think? They think you're a chumbalone.
Subscribe at johncassnews.com now for only $50 a year and become a member of the No Chumbalone Zone.
One of the reasons I love doing this, talking to you on this subject at this time, because I like talking to you anytime, but right now, especially, because I know that my former colleagues in the Chicago media will be listening since you're a candidate for governor. And I just wonder, you know, I gave up smoking.
Congrats.
So I can't really enjoy a cigarette right now because I'm thinking of their anguish listening. And I'm just wondering, how are you going to deal with the combine cheerleaders of the Chicago Tribune, who Rick Pearson and all these people who have been taking an active part in gleefully attacking people that I think are responsible for some clear-headed thinking, like Dan Proft and Gene Ives, for example, and Richard Uihlein, for example. And they hate them because the Combine hates people like that. And they have their cheerleaders in the media. So how do you deal with that?
No, you're right. And, you know, if we bring up Rick Pearson, yeah, we can forget converting Rick Pearson, right? Ricky will be a cheerleader for, I think, all the extreme policies that are out there right now. But I think there's a bunch of people who, you know, if you've seen Pritzker get pressed by the national press in the last few weeks, like on the gerrymandering, on the crime, you know, there's an opening there because it's fascinating to finally watch national media take on Pritzker. You know, they weren't doing that a couple of years ago. So that's a starting point. But I do think that there are people who, if they see the opening, if they see, and, you know, hey, this is all politics and this is all TV and media, right? If they see an opening to create a little friction where for the first time there might be something interesting to say, like, you know, when Governor Pritzker says, for example, you know, record graduation rates, well, I point out, well, no, actually kids can't read. Just look at Decatur, look at CPS, look at Peoria, show them the facts. Will the media start to get intrigued into these facts? Or, you know, Pritzker says that, you know, Illinois is growing in population. Well, it's not true. It's shrinking. You know, will they get engaged in those facts? And the same thing for job growth, right? We've created almost no net new private sector jobs under Pritzker in the 7 years he's been there. You know, Florida's created 1.1 million. Texas has created 1.5 million new jobs. Illinois, practically zero. Will the media engage with that with me? I don't know, but I hope so, because one, it's true. And two, you know, the media deserves to tell the public the truth, because Governor Pritzker won't. He proves over and over again that he can't be trusted when he tries to talk about what's happening here.
It's interesting because, right, the national piece is probably going to be, from money, especially from a money perspective, but the more powerful lever or wedge against him. That makes me think of, you know, you have Donald Trump, who is making himself, you know, there's no way around it. He's certainly influencing what's happening here in Illinois. And we've talked to people here before who kind of lay him out. You know, he makes himself out to be kind of this boogeyman of sorts against the Democrats. I mean, Democrats will paint him as that. J.B. Pritzker and his ilk will paint him against as that. And that gives them a wedge, you know, a foil to work against. What do you think that impact's going to be? And because I feel like it's coalescive to a lot of Democrats who might be, like you're saying, see the things that are happening, but then they see, well, but he's going to stand up and he's going to show courage and all this here. It's probably not true in the most part, but how do you kind of use that to your advantage?
Well, we have to keep remembering. I mean, he's going to coalesce the same people that voted for him last time. Mm-hmm. The question is, are there 5 and 10% of people who won't buy it anymore because they know what things are like under him? So, you know, Pritzker will do it, and he's going to get his crowds, and he's going to get his rah-rah when he pounds on Trump. But right. You know, he's forgetting that there's a whole bunch of people that are saying, wait a minute, didn't Trump just stop all this stuff at the border? I mean, you got zero people coming over finally. You know, wasn't it Pritzker that spent billions on illegal immigrants and just basically dissed his own residents? You know, wasn't it Pritzker that is telling his own constituents in Illinois to move out if they don't like it? You know, it's fascinating.
Yeah, he told me to go to Indiana, didn't he?
Right.
He's like, go to Indiana, Cass. I don't care.
Yeah, right. And, you know, he just did that to a bunch of Southern and Central Illinois who are concerned.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, so Trump, you know, Trump is trying to bring manufacturing back. He, you know, I tell you the big thing, Trump is trying to make cities safe again. And, you know, that's a big difference from saying we reduced the number of murders. Those are two different things. And, you know, that's not a nuance. That's a big deal. And so, you know, Trump is trying to partner with states like Illinois that need help. And we need help because we have a lot of bad policies, which is a whole nother discussion. We should dump all of our bad policies. We wouldn't need the help. But Trump, you know, Trump is trying to bring down crime and protect families in the South and West sides. Pritzker's not. So, you know, there's things that Trump is doing that are good things that Pritzker is flat out blocking. Pritzker's protecting crime. He's protecting criminals. He's protecting, you know, illegal immigration. He's incentivizing illegal immigration. He's handing out money for health care and housing and food and all that stuff, incentivizing more and more people to come here and leaving his own Black and Hispanic residents last. It's just wrong.
Illinois and Chicago politics are generally tribal. We know this to be true. And what about your tribes, your ethnic tribes, Mr. Polsky, Ted Dabrowski? Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. You know, I talk a lot. My parents were both, let me say it clearly, legal immigrants. They're
yes, both, mine were too.
Right. And they both my parents became U.S. citizens proudly. And, you know, my dad, you know, left communist Poland. He escaped when he was 22. You know, and he was a tough, let me say, badass. You know, he was in the Warsaw Uprising, took some bullets as a kid. You know, he was a freedom fighter. And when he escaped, you know, he came to America. He knew where to come to. He came to Chicago. And, you know, he was a proud American assimilator. And he met my mom, who was a 19-year-old who left Ecuador. And she came up, and one day they met on the L, and serendipitously they eventually got married and started their American dream here. And it's a fascinating story, and it wasn't an easy story, I can tell you that. There's lots of bumps for them along the way, but it was in Chicago that they felt they could grit it out and get started. And I got to live in Ecuador for 3 years as a kid. I lived in Mexico City for 6 years working with Citibank. I got to work in Poland for 9 years. And so I have a huge affinity for, for my history. But, it's the love of America that really is what drives me. This is, I've seen the world, and there's no better place than this. And I'm getting engaged because I hate to see our Illinois, our beautiful state, an amazing Chicago, and places like Decatur and Peoria and, and Rockford. I hate to see them going down. We should be so ambitious about being the best and being competitive. Yeah. And so, I think I have a real ability to go into Cook County and talk to Hispanics, Latinos, to talk to the Polish population, and try to build that alliance. And it's something that I think, other candidates can't do. And I hope I can do it well, because, I think I've lived a part of what they've gone through, and I hope I can unify them to join us in taking back the state.
Well, one thing your parents could do that we can't do now, a young girl from Ecuador, a young guy from Poland, if they ride the L now, they're victims. Oh. They're asking to be victims. And I think of all the women, minority women who have to ride the L now, people of low incomes, Latinos, Blacks, others who don't have aren't part of the cultural bicoastal elite that here we are in the Midwest, but don't have that access. What do they do in the short term? I'm thinking short term about crime. So I have to ask you this, Ted. If President Trump sends the National Guard here to Chicago, or to Chicago, I'm in Northwest Indiana, and I'll cheer it. What's your position?
Well, yeah, I'm going to answer directly. But first, let me say this. I think the real question is, why the heck does the federal government feel the need to intervene in Chicago? And there's several reasons. One is Pritzker and Johnson continue to have a sanctuary status, support and enhance the sanctuary status of the state and city. So, along with so many tens and hundreds of thousands that have come to Illinois, many of them are criminals. So that's one reason. Another reason is the Safety Act. Governor Pritzker passed the Safety Act. He ended cash bail. And not only that, it prioritizes criminals over victims in that whole law. We've stopped car chases and foot chases in Chicago. We got rid of ShotSpotter. Look at all the things we've done to incentivize crime. And I didn't even mention the lack of prosecutions and the soft sentencing and the whole decarcerationist approach to crime in Chicago and Illinois. So you have to think about it. That's why there's a reason to intervene in Chicago. And we have to remember, Chicago this year will lead the nation in murders, total murders, for 14 years in a row. 14 years in a row. That's not something. I mean, this is a problem, and the local media has ignored that fact. The national media is starting to grab onto it. Caroline Leavitt the other day talked about it. Kristen Noem talked about it the other day. So finally, that stat is making it out there, because that's an indictment of this place. So when you ask me that, okay, so yeah, if I were governor, I'd say yes. President Trump, come support us help us get started. But I will say this. I would be doing my best to overturn all those laws so that the federal government wouldn't have to come in, right? You don't see Trump trying to threaten, a lot of other cities. He's going after Baltimore and Chicago because we're the extreme cases. I would be unwinding. Yeah, we'd get cash bail back. These are things I would push for. Get rid of, eliminate the sanctuary status altogether. Bring back police chases and foot chases. Dramatically improve the morale of the police, because they are the starting point. We need to have them, free to protect our residents in the city. Bring things back like ShotSpotter, help them, right? Help the police. So I would do all that first. And then I would say, the National Guard wouldn't need to come in. However, I want to say one other thing. All those things don't help in the long term. In the long term, you have to have great economic growth in Chicago. If you have great economic growth, then you have people participate in the economy, and the minorities will participate too. If you look at the data today, since Governor Pritzker took over, Chicago, among the 15 largest cities in the country, Chicago has the worst economic growth in that period. It has the worst Black unemployment rate. It has the worst Black poverty rate among those 15 cities. So, you know, to really improve crime, you have to create an environment where Blacks and Hispanics and everybody, right, everybody can thrive in a growing economy. So it's holistic. It's not about bringing the National Guard, because that's a short-term solution, but that doesn't solve the real problem.
The long-term solution might involve having children being able to read, because the way I see, I might be just an old conservative newspaper guy, but the way I see it, these kids who are going through being funneled through the public schools in Illinois can't read, they can't do math, they can't achieve at grade level, let alone any other level. And what they're being trained to do then is to be either a drain on society by being on welfare or in prison, and that's a drain on society as well. I don't see any other. What are their options? Prison or welfare, based on what Illinois is educating them and how the schools are being run? Yes or no?
Oh, John, and I'm glad you brought it up. I can't believe I didn't say that within my list. You know, my biggest passion, and probably one of the things that incentivized me most to get in here, you know, is my review of how bad education has been in Illinois. And, you know, some of your listeners will know the story of, you know, when I discovered that just 2% of Black third graders in all of Decatur public schools could read a grade level. You know, I went crazy. I tried to figure out why that was. Just, you know, 2 out of every 100 kids could read a grade level. And so, you know, I wrote about that. The Wall Street Journal editorial board grabbed onto that fact, made a big deal out of Illinois and its failures there. You know, and Governor Pritzker, when he was asked about that Wall Street Journal editorial piece in the gubernatorial debate last time, he laughed it off, said it was, you know, he called us carnival barkers. He said that the data wasn't true. And it was his own data. It was the data from the State Board of Education. And it's true. Just 2% of those Black third grade children could read a grade level. And, you know, a few years later, you know, the number of, so there's about 2000 white children in the Decatur public schools, 2000 white children. What percent of those kids can read a grade level in Decatur? The number is 14%. So 86% of the white children in Decatur public schools can't read a grade level. It's right. What do you expect for the workforce in the future in Decatur? And it's the same story for Peoria. It's the same story for Chicago. What do you expect for the workforce when those children can't read? Right. What do you expect for entitlement payments? Right. What do you expect for crime? It's a sad story. And what I would say is I promise to be a champion of literacy, because we have to champion literacy and numeracy and get away from all this, you know, DEI and all of these other things and unfunded mandates that they keep putting in schools, and just obsess on literacy. You know, our kids have to be able to read. If they can't read, they will not be successful.
What happens, you know, if by some change here, you know, you wind up running against him and you're in, what do you do to get the General Assembly to play ball? Because, I mean, that seemed like it was when we had our last Republican governor, Ewan Rauner, that it was just the machine was, again, still stacked against you. And you had the Madigans of the world that were obviously playing both sides the way they wanted it. What do you do? I mean, where do you start?
Well, you know, there's no doubt that likely to be against supermajorities if I were to win. Or, you know, and if not supermajorities, majorities. Mm-hmm. So that's a reality. And, you know, and we know ideologically that the Democrats have opposed a lot of the things we're talking about here. But I do think that, you know, where Rauner failed was not using the bully pulpit. You know, he didn't go win the people. He tried to negotiate, they tried to negotiate with Madigan, the unions, the Democrats, and the state house. They were trying to do deals. Yeah. And what I think they failed to do was go win the people first. Go win Illinoisans on this education, on crime, use the bully pulpit, use the radios, use everything you can to make the case that you need more change. Because in the end, to make change in Illinois, you're going to have to change the state house and, you know, and get more represent, you know, get more bipartisan stuff going on, right? So that you have Republicans and Democrats negotiating. So that'll be the big thing. But I think, you know, things like property taxes, we have to make the Democrats, you know, they're in charge and we get the highest property taxes in the country. They're in charge. And so I have to go to the people and say, look, if you want lower property taxes, either you make them do it or kick them out of office. Listen, your kids can't read anymore. We need school choice here. So either you kick out the Democrats, sorry, you make the Democrats pass school choice or kick them out of office. And that's a case we have to make. And it's a tough case, right? But I think nobody's prosecuted that case the way that I'd like to, you know, on the taxes, on the doubling of gas taxes, on our kids can't read, all that stuff. It's sitting there. You know, why should we be last in the country in all these things? And I think, you know, that's the question for Illinoisans. You can, this will be a change election. You can keep the same stuff you got and keep voting for Pritzker, or you can vote for something different. And, you know, that's the change that we want to bring back to Illinois and make it the amazing state it should be.
Sure. And I think the problem you're going to run into, and anybody running against, you know, as the combine is, you know, we point out
media.
The media, well, in general, but even take the media. I mean, they're known, you know, they're going to go wherever when the dollars and the sympathies, air quotes, there are. But you've got this belief, this feeling among the general populace that in people who are voting for the Democrats and keeping them in power, that, you know, Republicans are bad and they're scary and they're mean. And I mean, you've DePaul Vallis of the world are painted as Republicans. And then you're like, oh, well, wait a minute. That's not necessarily true. But how do you and not to push them aside and say, I'm not a Republican, I don't want to be that. But how do you say that, you know, I'm not necessarily that, is that, don't think of me like that. Think of me as everything's been going down here for so long. I'm going to do different things. I'm going to change the game. That's my idea. You know, where do you get home on that? I mean, the kids thing you think would make sense would be, oh, my kids, I feel like my kids aren't reading anymore or aren't doing anything. But I feel like that's easy to ignore in a sense because, you know, it's a metric that is given to them. Oh, well, your kid's passing grades. He's getting, you know, he's going to graduate to the next class. Okay. I'm not putting him in front of a math test or a science or any of that. So I don't know. And the property tax thing, I think, is going to be a big benefit because everything's going up. But how do you not disenfranchise and bring Democrats who just keep voting for what they've been told to vote for into the circus tents and say, hey, look at the circus is crazy, but I'm going to be a new ringmaster.
Right. Well, I think, you know, things are changing and you know it. And John in particular knows that the media is changing. The power of, you know, the Tribunes and the Sun Times is diminished. The phones, the cell phones and all the different ways of reaching people have dramatically changed.
Yes,
so that's one. And so, you know, the question is, again, it comes back to money, right? And so for any major donor or small donor who's listening and you know, who feels compelled to help, I think we can reach a lot of people in a totally different way with, and for me, I love facts, right? I love the facts, but here's another thing, not just the social media, but the disenfranchisement out there. Trump got 5 percentage points more statewide than he did in the 2016 run. He got 6 percentage points more in the Cook. He went from 30 to 36. Now, listen to this. In Chicago, he went from 12% to 22%. There are voters out there who are not happy. And I will bet that they're even less happy today. And we see this in Cicero and Stickney. You know, Cicero has gone way up. You know, you're talking about 90% Latino in Cicero. Big shift to Republican. Stickney, working class population, big increase for GOP. So the disenfranchisement is out there. Can we reach them? You know, they're not reading the Sun Times, and they're not reading. They're not watching. You know, whatever. You know, ABC7. They're looking on their phones. They're listening to radio. And so that's how we have to go reach them. And you don't have to have as much money. And because we tell the truth, I think it's easier. Right? It's always easier to tell the truth, and we'd have to spend a lot less. You know, we don't need to spend what Pritzker spends. We just need to have enough to hit critical mass with the truth. And I don't try to persuade somebody who's so far away from me. They're not persuadable,
Right. You're not, in other words, you're not going to get the SEIU to endorse.
Right. Exactly.
I don't think so.
Right. So think of it as just the centrist independent or center left Democrat who's just saying, man, I really don't like this anymore. You know, this isn't my Democrat Party, right? And so that's, you know, that's why I say we got to get to 50% plus one. We're not trying to win 60%. And it's not like Pritzker has 60%.
One of the things that's happened in the political world lately is this group that's getting seems more traction all the time. It's they call it Turn Chicago Red or something like
flip,
that.
Flip Chicago Red.
Flip Chicago Red. Now, I don't know if it's a function of Trump donors or not, but I think that there are people out there who aren't involved in writing campaign checks who are supportive of this idea. Because the tensions between the Democrats and the African American community are greater in Chicago. For example, you've mentioned that Pritzker and Johnson spent what, $1.5 billion on satisfying the illegals. Yes,
just healthcare, right?
Just healthcare,
right? Forget schools and housing and all those other things. Just free healthcare.
Okay. Add more to that. And they don't have money for cops because we're looking at shortages, police of maybe 3,000 cops or more.
Right.
Right. So my experience is that the worst thing that you can do as a politician is support one group over another that one group takes from the other. They get really mad. And who's mad? Black voters. So that's why I think part of the reason why Mr. Johnson is undergoing panic attacks now because they will increase. What do you think of the Flip Chicago Red?
Yeah, this Flip Chicago Red, they've had a big voice. They are unhappy. And you know, you've seen a lot of different groups, not just Flip Chicago Red, but others, speak up, and they're speaking up strongly, and they're not scared, which is amazing, right? They're not being shy about how they speak. So I think it's there. You know, the question always is, you know, can they create enough coalition and enough to break that, you know, election day voting and you know, because, you know, they're so used to blacks are so used to voting for Democrats. So, you know, on election day, which way do they finally go? So I think that's the big question. But, you know, certainly they're raising the voice. And look, you look at all the stories, not just on illegal immigration, well, illegal immigration, but tied to crime as well. And, you know, you know the story of the, you know, of the immigrant in Waukegan, yes, who had that lady die in his house from an overdose, and he shoves her in a barrel in the backyard and puts whatever acid on her and keeps her there for 2-3 months. It's, you know, it's crazy stuff that's going on that's waking up people, and it's wrong, but it's also just so exemplary of you know how much mismanagement we have and how little our politicians, Johnson and Pritzker, and by the way, Johnson and Pritzker have the same ideology. They're very different animals in how they operate. But they are partners in crime. And, you know, they don't seem to care about everyday Illinoisans. That's all I can say is that they care more about the politics. You know, Pritzker's running for trying to win the far left side of the primary and in the presidential race. He cares more about that than he does about his everyday Illinoisans.
Ted, you know, Illinois, it's no surprise here, is, you know, a union haven, and you can see it by our tax bills and the pension programs and all that. But there are a lot of people who are, you know, less and less every year, but are forced into it or go along with it, the pension, being in the unions to work as public workers. And I mean, what, you can tell me the facts on it, but, you know, the government employs more, is the largest single employer in the state. So how do you tamper anybody who's on the fence there? Because I feel like that's where the political power is, and the ability for the SEIUs of the world to flex and scare people who may questioning their Democrat card away from, like, oh, I'm going to lose my benefits, or I'm going to lose my pension, or I'm going to lose all this stuff. You know, you can easily, I just going to say, Dennis, I mean, we can go on and on criticizing the what's happening in Illinois, because there's so much that happens, right? And it's, how do you tamper down that? You're not going to be able to blow the whole thing up and everyone's going to have to build from rubble. you're going to be, I'm okay voting for this guy because, you know, I'm not going to have to worry about everything being different.
Well, I think, you know, part of it is it's anything, any change that would have to come is going to take a little bit of time. Right. And,
yeah,
you know, I'm all about, you know, getting to the table and talking about these things. You know, it's a place like Arizona has the exact same kind of pension protections that Illinois mm-hmm. does in its constitution. But there, you know, they sat down at the table and they made some, you know, moderate changes and they agreed to them. They changed the constitution and, you know, everybody's better off. And, you know, I really worry, you know, I'm a huge supporter of the police and fire in Chicago. I mean, you know, talk about a tough job, but if you look at their pensions now with this recent, you know, Pritzker just increased pensions in Chicago, which sounds good if you are, you know, being empathetic to the police and firemen, but mm-hmm. not until you find out that their pension plans are now 18% funded. Basically, that means that they're bankrupt. That's what it means. If you don't know what 18% funded means, that means there's hardly any money. It's like going into your retirement, your own personal retirement. You're 65, you're ready to retire, and you've got no money in the account, right? That's what it's like. You've got 20% of what you should have so that you can have a good retirement. So we're actually destroying the retirement security of our police and firemen. And it's not just theirs too, right? It's the same for the city workers, the state workers. It's a real mess. And you know, and the more people that leave, the less money there is in the state to tax so that we can pay those pensions. And, you know, it's like a grown-up discussion. It'd be like, you know, I don't know, you know, you have a cancer and you're not willing to talk about it. You ignore it. It'll get you if you ignore it. So you have to sit down and talk about it and think about it. But look, I think there's so many problems we have to have, but we have to get back to acknowledging the problems, being together at the table to talk about them and, you know, figure out some solutions.
Everywhere I talk, everywhere I look at, they're across the board has noted that their power bills have gone up, mostly electric. Gas is still relatively cheap here in most areas. How do you come out and address that? Because I think that's a place where everybody pays that bill every month, usually. And not a water bill, because that's, you know, nobody pays those. How you doing? But how do you, what would be a game plan or an idea to try to push Illinois' electric bills down collectively? Because as far as we know, they're going up and they're going to keep going up. And from what I've read and can understand, they're going to go up even more. This is just the beginning.
Yeah. So again, you know, we're back to taking the case to the people. Most people probably have no idea why it's that way. They're just seeing suddenly their bill spike. Those who are politically engaged understand that, again, it's another extreme law passed by Democrats. And I say extreme only because it's pushing the state to go green so fast that we're cutting off our stable supply of energy, right? Our coal, our gas. We're cutting it out so fast in the hopes that wind and sun, solar will cover it, and it's not happening. And so what's amazing is that because of these laws are so extreme, we're having to import energy now from other states that produce energy with coal, for example, like Kentucky. So we've got it all backwards. And again, the people need to know that. Right now, the people just know that they're about to get whacked on their bills. And, you know, they saw some people saw doubling and all that. And like you said, it will get worse because it's really hard to create, you know, this green energy and get it on the grid and make it be consistent and all that. And, you know, the pace at which we're decommissioning our existing base load is way too fast. So that's another one where we have to go to the people and say, hey, look, if you want change, either you force the Democrats who run the state house now to change it, or you got to kick them out and get new people in, Republicans who will understand and make sure that we take care of our energy needs first before we start dumping our base load.
Sure. I mean, nuclear, I hope is if you win is part of that conversation, because we just saw, you know, the Tennessee Valley just put in a big, great 8-9 year plan where they're going to build 6 or 7 small modular nuclear reactors around the area, and that are going to essentially, you know, triple their energy supply ability. And for whatever reason, you know, Illinois says, oh, that's not really green because we don't have any interest in it, because it's, you know, it's solar and wind are the key buzzwords. So I hope you keep use those, because I mean, as someone who studied physics and science and is working to be a physics teacher here, there's nothing wrong with nuclear. In fact, it's very clean, very stable, and when it's done, you know, above board, it's safe. It's very safe.
Yeah, I mean, nuclear, you know, provides over 50% of our right. energy now. That's why we've been so independent. We've been low cost for so mm-hmm. long, right? That combination of sources that we have, and now we're messing up that whole mix too fast. Look, I think there's a lot of people who care about the environment, and we want to do it right. And look, when the green energy is better than the current energy we have now, everybody will be for doing it. But you can't do something too fast and make a mess, and you know, we'll kick out more companies. It'll become too expensive to operate here, and we'll just dig a deeper hole for ourselves. So yeah, nuclear has to be a big part of that.
One of the groups that are interested in this are the electricians, and they're a group that you can reach out to, Ted, because I know them, and my son's a local 9 guy now, and they're all about transmitting power. They want to work. People want to work in Illinois.
Yeah. Well, we certainly need more jobs. I that's one of the big things that I've noticed here, and that's, you know, when you look at the states that are growing, they're growing populations, they're growing their GDPs tremendously. You know, they're attracting capital, they're attracting businesses, and you know, that's our goal. I mean, that's, you know, I've worked in the business world for a long time, and you know, I was in Poland for 9 years before I came back to Illinois, and I got to watch one of the most massive expansions and investments and growth and economic growth. It was phenomenal. It was phenomenal.
In Poland, you mean?
Yeah, in Poland. It was amazing. Just in, you know, in a few years after the wall came down, how everybody united to make Poland, you know, a powerhouse again. And today it's one of the fastest growing, most successful countries in the nation. And, you know, I envision, you know, leading an effort where we work in that same way to make Illinois the powerhouse it should be, and then the powerhouse it used to be, right? It's not like I'm dreaming up something of, you know, we were powerhouse just, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, but today we're not. So we need to flip that.
Illinois was the place where every immigrant wanted to come for one reason, and the reason was work. They came from all mm-hmm. these impoverished villages broken by World War II. They were starving. They were hungry. They just wanted to work. And they used to say, if you couldn't work, find a job in Chicago, you weren't trying. You could, if you could work anywhere, work in Chicago. And now I see an effort by government to discourage people from working, to get them, to stop them from working, to stop them from being entrepreneurial. And I just find that to be, I see Polish immigrants. My friends, the Grabis family, Marek and Anna Grabis, came from Poland. And they're like, what did we do? We came from Poland to come to America. We left socialism and we came here. And look at Illinois socialists.
Right.
It's amazing.
You know, you tell that story, John, and it's so true. And, you know, and I wasn't one of those, you know, those people. My dad, right. of course, came here from Poland. But, you know, I worked there for 9 years from 1998 to 2007. And, you know, I was helping. We liberalized the economy. We brought back individual rights. And, you know, I played my small part, right? I'm not going to overplay my role. But, you know, we brought back individual rights, economic rights, legal rights. You know, privatize the companies, put them back in the hands of the people and out of the government. And it was just, again, I say the one of the most amazing experiences, and I'm so glad I was there for that. And then I moved back here, and I moved back to Illinois, and it was the exact opposite. You know, it's like we're taking away freedoms, you know, more top-down mandates from the state. Then you had COVID, of course, when Pritzker, you know, for 42 straight, well, almost 3.5 years, you know, ran the state on executive order. I mean, he had unilateral power to shut down businesses, to close down schools, all that stuff. It's like, wait, didn't I just leave Poland to come here? And it was the exact opposite. So people are waking up to this extremeness that we've had here.
That one thing that the Poles had was an interest in freedom that was based culturally, not just politically, culturally, based in the great literature of the past. Writers like the writer of the with Fire and Sword in the trilogy.
Yeah, Sienkiewicz. Yep.
From Henryk Sienkiewicz. Sienkiewicz, there was no Poland when Sienkiewicz started writing about Poland of the past. It had been destroyed by the Austro-Hungarian Empire and the other empires that trod on it, by my people, the Orthodox in Ukraine and the Cossacks coming. And he wrote about the Polish nobility who were so fractured that they, if one of them decided, if in their group, in their Congress, if one said, no, I don't like this procedure, they couldn't do it. They had to have unanimous consent. And that allowed unscrupulous people to come in and try to destroy them. But that novel, With Fire and Sword, was serialized in the newspapers of the day, the Polish-speaking newspapers of the day, and that helped create the idea of nation, of a nation for the Polish people. And I wonder, I don't think you're going to have Illinois supporting newspapers, but, and it offends me that I believe Pritzker is trying to give media, is he trying to give media like tax credits or breaks to be on his side? Is he doing that? I think so.
Yeah, he was trying to do that. I can't remember what happened with that law, but that's one of the things they were trying to pass, right? You know, this kind of like what we've busted at the national level in recent months.
Yeah, I don't want Pritzker's support for John Cass News, okay? I don't want it, and I wouldn't take it. But I think that you can have success if you understand, and I think you do, the cultural aspects of this revolution that we're trying to create. Because I'm thinking we have to have a counter, like a revolution or counter-revolution against the status quo with these children that can't read and do math and can't work, with all the regulations that are destroying business. And I wonder what we can do about it, except elect people like Ted Dabrowski, governor of Illinois. Ted?
I'll accept the challenge. I'll accept the charge. You know, it starts, you know, I always say that you can't fix problems you don't acknowledge. And that's the starting point. And too many people, I think, have been hoodwinked by the government, by the media. That's why they keep voting the same. They're kind of they're not being told the truth. And Governor Pritzker, you know, he never levels with the people. And that's why I say he can't be trusted. And he certainly shouldn't be trusted for a third term. We shouldn't be fooled again. So that's our opportunities to really turn the state around. But it starts with unifying against all these bad policies.
Well, thanks for being here, Ted. I have one more question when we leave, because Jeff's been putting this thing together. Okay, two questions before we go. One is, when you're campaigning and you don't want to have any more rubber chicken banquets, and you're tired of the rubber chicken corn medley with peas and corn together, where do you go? What kind of food do you want in your campaign office?
Well, I love diners. I've always been a lover of diners. And whenever I go to a new city or to a city, I go to diners. If you want to find me working, a lot of times I'll be in a diner. So I love diners. Now, that said, about 4 months ago, my doctor said, hey, you might want to eat a little better. And so I've really tried to improve my eating, you know, eating more, again, just more healthy stuff. So I have to be careful. Diners aren't always the best for healthy food, but I love diners. And I eat everything, and I eat anything. I'm lucky that I exercise a lot, because otherwise, you know, I'd be, you know, not as healthy.
Well, yeah, you're never going to get to Pritzker's gargantuan size, but you know, that poor guy, I know he's obviously running for president because he's walking with Marianne Ahern, and his heart must be as big as my head. And I feel sorry for him in that respect, but just push away from the table, JB, right? Just push away.
Well, and exercise a lot. You know, that's key.
There you go.
Know, staying healthy is key.
And the other thing I want to ask about, is when we talk about the Chicago Way, what does the Chicago Way mean to you, Ted Dabrowski?
The Chicago Way means to me that it's a system that's designed for those who are connected, those who are, you know, not the everyday Illinoisans, not the everyday Chicagoans, but the people who are connected in some way. They have their livelihood dependent on that system, and they can't get away from it. They can't break away from it. And, you know, the system keeps trapping more and more people in it. And, you know, this is why it's gone on for so long. You've had, you know, and part of that is, of course, Democrats. Democrats have run Chicago for what is it, 93 or 94 straight years. Democrats have run Cook County for over 100 years straight. So it's a system that's designed to take care of the political elite, the connected, and sadly, it leaves out just the everyday people who aren't part of that system. And, you know, and that's why you're starting to see people leave, you know, including the black population. They leave for other states because they're not part of the system. They're at the bottom of the system. And, you know, at some point, that's how you destroy a great city and a great state.
Zabrowski, thanks for being here on the Chicago Way. And I hope we get another chance to get together again as your campaign proceeds.
Well, I'd love it. I'd love it. Thank you. And thank you guys for the coverage that you guys do, telling the truth all the time and saying it unabashedly, because I think that's the point.
Unabashed.
That's us. Thanks, Ted.
Thanks, Ted.
Thank you, guys.
For Ted Dabrowski, Republican candidate for governor of Illinois, of wirepoints.org, a man who is all about facts and reason. And for Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, future physics teacher, baker of pies, although I haven't had any recently. Sorry, Jeff. And for me, John Cass, editor and publisher of johncassnews.com, where you always get a good cup of Midwestern common sense. Join us again next time, won't you, on another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.